You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On this episode of The Cooligans, oh my God, what we're doing is we're talking about every match that happened on deadline day, or as we like to quote, redline day. Some teams lost, some teams won, some teams got knocked out. There's a lot that happened.
We also talk playoff predictions. Who's going to play in these knockout rounds? Who's going to win? People are leaving. Some people are going home. We'll drug, but show up to work. Who knows? All this and more today on The Cooligans.
Hi, I'm RJ Allen for New York City Football Club, and you're listening to The Cooligans.
Yeah, baby, Cooligans. Ah, man. Ah, what an exciting final day of the regular season. I think we can finally say that because the team we like is in the playoffs. But nonetheless, it was exciting across the board. And I really like what they're doing by playing all the matches at the same time.
Yeah. Wow, you just really got into it. You didn't even...
Yeah, I mean, why why are we sitting here?
You didn't even say hello to me.
Why? I mean, why should we? We've been talking for a couple of hours. I know to everyone who's listening, we just started this friendship right here.
This is our first date, right?
Yeah, this is it. And I'm right into trying to get it in the butt.
You're just going...
This is why I'm glad I don't date.
Dating's fun.
Happy to be married.
I like dating.
Oh, boy. He's got a girlfriend, and he just said that.
I'm going on a couple dates this week.
Oh, boy.
No, it's fun. You know what? I
wanted to go pick up all the clothes your girl just threw out of the window.
What I like about dating is the uncertainty of it. The like, not knowing what to expect, even though sometimes it can go badly, but it's challenging to try to, like, convince a girl to, like you and stuff.
Oh, thank God you said like. Yeah, because it could have gone the other way.
Because you got to charm them, and you like, you get to, like,
kind of like you do our listeners flex, every week.
You
Christian
get to flex
Block.
Those abilities. It's kind of nice. Yeah.
Well, this is a no flex zone. Thank you, Ray Smurd. Who is flexing their abilities is some of the great MLS clubs.
Forced it in there, but it was good. So today we're gonna do something we've never done before, which
that's
is
right.
That's right. We're just gonna celebrate that. That's just
everybody. Hold on.
We're gonna cover every single match in the MLS from MLS deadline day. So
yeah,
it was the final game in the regular season,
or as we coined and I like better, redline day.
And so every single team played at the exact same time. It was the first time like eight teams didn't have a bye week.
Well, let me tell you something. I know this was exciting for a lot of people just watching, fans of their clubs, of their respective clubs, but let me tell you, this was an additional layer of exciting for me. As everyone who listens to this podcast knows, I was trying to win the MLS Fantasy League. And the way we set it up, if I'm not mistaken, if either of us won, no one wins anything, right?
No, that's not how we said
it. I think that's what we said.
We said that, and clearly we were joking.
We were joking, because I emailed second place, and I said, don't worry, I know what we said, but you do still win something. But I did, I kind of wanted no one to win anything. I kind of wanted to be the only one who wins.
Why would that be a good
thing? I don't know. I honestly can't answer you. All I can
Outside of that, you are a huge dick.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know. I got to be honest. I was just like, how awesome would it be if I won that no one wins anything? I was just totally into it. And let me tell you something. It down to the wire. We'll talk about that when we get to the NYCFC match.
Yeah.
Because not just because that's the team that we, go see, but that's also just so happens that I had made David Villa my captain. So for those of you who watched, kind of gives you an idea of what may have happened. But yeah, the first match that we want to talk about, and here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through, like Christian said, we're going to go through all of them, baby.
Exactly. So if you're an MLS fan, it's just your first time listening to the podcast, and you've heard this podcast before, and they're like, oh, you guys talk about the same teams often. And we sort of do. Yeah. We sort of stick with
like the better teams.
I guess the better team.
Yeah, or just the more exciting.
The teams that always had something to play for, like the teams that were basically out of the playoffs, we didn't focus too much.
Yeah, we barely talked about Houston.
Exactly.
But if you're a Houston fan, Minotis.
Yeah, well,
you got a lot going on there.
What's
going
to happen
is... Let me notice what you're doing.
We're going to put our Cooligan's brand recap on every single match.
Absolutely.
For deadline day. So,
Cooligan's recap.
So stay tuned. You know, it's going to be fun. If you haven't heard your team yet, you will hear it very, very soon. But we are going to begin with the Colorado Rapids against the Houston Dynamo. 1-1.
Speaking of the team, we barely talk about it.
Yeah, that was completely intentional. 1-1 draw. Colorado, Houston has nothing to play for, but Colorado were trying to get the supporters shield. They could have gotten it.
I think if they won and DC lost.
And Dallas lost.
Yeah, sorry, Dallas lost.
Yeah.
And that would have been fun. And I'd hate to say that they let it slip because they all played at the same time. And as we'll find out later, FC Dallas wins anyway. So, to be honest, what I'm excited about, if you are a Colorado fan and you're excited, you're talking about the play of Gashi. You're talking about the play of Tim Howard. You're talking about Jermaine Jones coming in for a few minutes at the end of the match. Mm-hmm. And what you're really thinking in the back of your head, if you're really, really smart, is the play of Hairston. This kid is amazing. I don't know why. Maybe I just don't watch enough to see like where he slips up, or maybe he doesn't track back, but he's a defender that runs forward, and he has a great eye for not just assists, but sometimes he finds goals. I mean, the kid is just incredible. He's young and hilarious that his name is Hairston and he has huge dreads, but he is absolutely amazing and dynamic young player.
Yeah, he is I thought he was a defender. Like, I'm looking at his just Wikipedia, and he's marked as a midfielder. But I think he's a right back or left back.
Yeah, yeah. He could start left or right back, but he is more of a winger, if you will. So I get the midfielder.
Because I have seen him playing defense. I know that he's been placed there. And even then, he's still gotten goals. He's gotten assists.
Yeah, he loves to be in that final third, and he's good. You know, he reminds me of like Matarita in that sense.
Yeah, he's very much.
You know, he's clearly a defender, but you could play him at midfield. Maybe not as great as as he is a defender. You know, you sort of have that buffer. You know, like, well, look how good he is, even though he's a defender. That goes away once you start a midfielder as a forward. And I can see Hairston really, really succeeding in that. You know, Maestro, any style play, like playing that he wants to do, where your wide backs tend to be forward. Hairston is great for that. He's got a lot of pace because he's young.
Yeah, he is fine. He sort of has the same build as Kyrie Shelton from NYCFC.
But he's smaller.
He's a little small.
Yeah, he's like a Theo Walcott type of player. Imagine Theo Walcott didn't have the finishing. He didn't have the finishing capabilities, but he had the ability to sort of pace up forward. A lot like Hector Bellerin, you know, speaking of Arsenal. You know, he just has that ability to get forward. You got to love that. As a fan, when your defender's up there, you know, adding to assist and allows your offensive players to get, you know, in the attacking positions, you got to love that.
Yeah, Colorado could have. Look, they've had a spectacular season, even with Jermaine Jones. He didn't arrive till midseason.
Right.
He was injured. And he didn't play till basically midseason.
Howard didn't arrive until basically the end of the EPL season.
Exactly. So these change keepers, huge changes at crucial positions.
Yeah.
And they still kept their forms. It really says a lot. Colorado's been fascinating because they're not. A particularly like strong offensive club, but defensively,
Gosh, he's good and Doyle's good though. You got to give them that.
But they're not winning by 4-0 victories.
I see your point.
They're not crushing teams offensively.
What team would we say does that? I would say maybe Toronto at most, right? Toronto probably has the most ability to run the score.
Who's put up the most goals? I mean, it's been the Red Bulls, NYCFC. I mean, these are teams that NYCFC is the extreme because they concede so many,
right?
But you clearly see the offensive firepower, and you see the strategy. It's just like, we're just going to try to outscore these teams because defensively, that's where we're weak.
Sure.
But Colorado has been the opposite. I mean, they really focus on...
They're strong. Yeah.
Axel Schuberg he's the linchpin of that defense, and that's been their focus. Just keep the team from scoring. Schuberg.
Is it?
Yeah,
I think it's Højbjerg.
It's not Højbjerg.
It's the S-J-O-B-E-R-G.
Schuberg. We've had this discussion.
Have we?
We had it. We had the
Andy Winner.
Andy Winner.
But didn't he call him Hoiberg also?
No, he didn't. He said Schuberg.
Ah, I've been saying Hoiberg wrong and correctly this whole time.
Alexis, you are the king of mispronouncing everything. even after someone explains it to you.
I think you're growing in son. I get it, everybody.
Yeah, so this game ended 1-1. The only goal for Houston was from Andrew Wengert.
Yeah, no, Wenger. Like Arsene Wenger.
Is it Wenger? He has a T, though, at the end.
No, there's no T.
I think it does.
Look it up.
Okay. Maybe I'm wrong.
Is this the game we're going to play this whole time?
Well, Houston, I mean...
Houston didn't have anything to play. They literally... I mean, I'm surprised if anyone even watched.
It's wild because they've, you know, historically, you know, the last few years, they've been a pretty solid... you know, they were in the MLS final a couple years ago.
Yeah.
So it's a really... you know, I guess fall from grace. I don't know. It's just
is it though? Look, Colorado was terrible last year, and look how great they look this year. Like, that's the cool thing about MLS, and maybe some people, it's annoying. Every year you get a chance to sort of recreate yourself. You know, the budget and the cap is where you have to, you know, drop a lot of players, gain a lot of players. Other teams have dropped their players, and you know, a simple change in system or process, all of a sudden everyone looks great. So again, if you're a Houston fan, you've got Manotis. Train all off season with this kid. Let him develop into the player that we all think he's going to be, because he's going to be a top scorer in this league.
Yeah. So next up, let's go to Sporting Kansas City against the San Jose Earthquakes.
Terrible name. Terrible badge.
Sporting Kansas City 2-0 over the Earthquakes.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. Phil Haber. Yeah, I know that there's Benny.
Benny's my dad's name also.
Is it?
Yeah. But he's definitely...
What's Benny short for?
Bienvenido.
No, really?
Yeah, that's it.
Your dad's name is Bienvenido?
Yeah, my dad's name is Welcome.
Yeah, really?
Yeah. Which is like...
I'm surprised your name is like Oye Mi Boy.
It's weird. Like, I guess that's a fairly common name in Spanish. It's not, people call their children Welcome.
Welcome.
I mean, you know, but Bienvenido sounds better than Welcome. You wouldn't name it...
Welcome Smith. Yeah. Well, Give Will and Jada another chance. I'm sure they will. I think that Benny, Bienvenido Phil Haber. I think the one thing that he's Brazilian, so that might be his name. The thing about Phil Haber is, you know, I don't give him enough credit for, and maybe it's just because he's no longer really included in the men's national team that I kind of just assume like his skills have dropped, which I was incorrect about Kleshton. You know, it. You just assume that he's just not that good anymore. He really is like the fulcrum of the team. I don't know if fulcrum is correct, but he seems to be like the anchor point, man. He makes this team click a lot like Lee Wynn does, you know, over in New England. God, watching the clips that we saw, he just has this ability to get players into open position and to draw defenders and to be in the right position. You know, I don't know if they're going to be able to keep him. It seems like this is probably his last chance to get a big contract if he is going to go somewhere.
Sure.
But you got to be inspired by how he plays.
It does look good. Graham Zuzi also scored a goal. I think the issues...
That was all because of Phil Haber.
Yeah, I think the issues with Sporting Kansas City are... I mean, just their form the last couple weeks have not been great. Dom Dwyer, really, he had a pretty good start to the season.
He's tailored off.
And then they're just sort of sputtering into the playoffs. It's good that they got that win. I mean, San Jose has been pretty bad this entire season.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, it would have been, you know, a big deal if they lost to San Jose. But you know, there's also rumors, you know, that they're trying to, even during the season, that they were trying to sell Dom Dwyer.
Oh, they refused. Remember, they turned down the Turkish club. They said right now is not. Yeah. Peter Vermes said right now is not the time to sell Dom Dwyer. If you ask Dom Dwyer's financial manager, he's like, when is the right time? Can you let us know?
Yeah, you know, I think it makes me not very confident for Sporting Kansas City going into play. I think they're going to have a tough time.
Yeah, I you know, they're going into that knockout game, right? They're not.
Yeah,
they're going to get a bye.
They're going to be playing the Galaxy.
Yeah, they're done.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Sounders.
Oh, they're done.
And Sounders look hot.
Sounders look so good.
Yeah. So let's go over to LA Galaxy.
Speaking of LA Galaxy.
LA Galaxy against...
FC Dallas.
FC Dallas. This game ended 0-0.
Yeah, but it was, yeah, I said FC Dallas won. That's right. No, but they won the, I said it because they won the support.
They won the support, show. But they it was enough points.
So this is the double. They've done the double. They have a chance to go for the triple. That's this is right. huge.
The treble, as they say.
The treble. That's
all
right.
about that bass.
No treble. No,
and, you know, and the treble. Yeah. Anyway. So.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. All about the cup. Yes, treble.
All the Meghan Trainor fans are like, oh, my God, they really get me.
Yeah. I know. I should listen to my husband's podcast more often.
What a great decision.
I like these fellas. I like Galaxy, man. They really trotted out the old men on this one. Mike McGee was out there making runs.
Well, I like
Landon Donovan was making runs.
It was clearly, LA Galaxy had nothing to really play for as far as seeding. It was like, let's rest these guys because yeah. they're going to have to play in the middle of the week.
Great match to start Landon Donovan. He hasn't been here for most of the season, so this is another game where he can sort of, you know, continue to get the rust off.
Yeah.
And he looked good. He looked good. He didn't look terrible.
He did look good. He got a dumb yellow card after he got the ball taken from him. He just... he did like a retaliation tackle.
Right.
Who was it that he tackled? I think it might have been Urruti. Yeah, it just was so stupid because it was like one of the things where
it's like temper.
Yeah,
right?
Well, you know, he tackled. It was a terrible slide, and he clipped the dude, and then he instead of like you know showing some remorse for like possibly injuring somebody, he gets up and just yells at the ref for not calling the foul that just happened before.
Oh, the old "see what you made me do." Yeah.
This is your fault. Yeah, yeah, yeah. This wouldn't happen if you.
I didn't hit her. She overcooked the steak. You're looking at the wrong thing here, officer.
I'm the victim here.
I mean, and I hurt my hand. I'm hungry, and I hurt my hand, and I'm out of a steak.
Have you no sympathy?
Come on. When you really look at it, whose fault is it?
Yeah, it was really a dumb challenge.
Are we going to get emails for the Landon Donovan wife beater comparison we just made?
But it was a solid analogy.
Great. I think it worked really well.
It was very clear.
People are going to start to think we're preparing this stuff. That's how good that was.
One thing I took from the game, because we had FC Dallas had come to Yankee Stadium to play NYCFC, but that was the game that we had our box seats.
That was our suite. That game was so sweet.
It was pretty sweet. But so, you know, I had never seen.
You said we had our boxes. Like, I thought you were just being like the same character saying we invited our girls with us.
Wow, who talks like that?
These boxes are with us.
Oh yeah, this is the coolest podcast with Alexis Guerrero's and Andrew Dice Clay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh God, someone was typing an email and it was just like adding another paragraph to this email now.
No, but that was
triggered. Is the assumption.
We were at like basically center field.
Center pitch.
Center pitch.
Yeah.
At Yankee Stadium. So I one thing I didn't realize when I was watching this game, and Walker Zimmerman, the center back for FC Dallas, obviously he's a presence offensively. He's gotten a couple goals this season.
Yeah, great fantasy pickup for me.
Dominant, on the back line, and there was a corner, and I'm watching him just towering over the LA Galaxy.
Yeah, he looks like another keeper.
He is. Gigantic.
Yeah.
It's surprising because, you know, a guy that big, you sort of just expect a couple, to him to be strong sort of defensively.
Right.
But he's also pretty fast and is like an offensive threat.
Yeah.
So
he's the Kristaps Porzingis of FC Dallas.
Yeah. He's a pretty big dude. It was like kind of scary. I just feel bad for the teams that have to like mark him in the box.
I would love to see him standing next to like that Teixeira guy at in Vancouver who's like 4'8". You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That'd be hilarious. It's like Kevin Hart and The Rock.
It's like, oh, yeah. Or seeing like pictures with like Shaq and his wife.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. And you're just like, I feel bad for her.
But FC Dallas did win the Supporter Shield. Well, a cool thing that the team did after their win, they went over to Mauro Diaz's house.
Right.
And I don't even think they called. They just showed up.
No, they toilet papered it. It was so awesome.
But no, they did a really cool thing. You can see it on FC Dallas's Twitter and their Instagram. But they
He wasn't able to celebrate with
them. He wasn't able to celebrate with Mauro Diaz. He had a torn Achilles, so he's out for the... He's out for, like... He might even miss the beginning of next season.
Yeah, it's a tough recovery. Good luck to Mauro.
You know, he's the designated player. He's... I mean, he's been amazing for that team. But they went over to his house and they did the champagne shower that they would do, like, you know, in the locker room.
At a nightclub or an locker room.
Yeah, at the 40-40.
Yeah, exactly.
But they did it. They just,
like, could you turn that down?
They opened he opened the door. He came out in his crutches and, you know, he has a cast on his foot.
And they ruined his carpet.
and they just, you know, sprayed champagne over him right at the front door. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is, that's pretty awesome. And, you know, he, again, DPs in the past, I don't think have had the allure that I think some of the new modern DPs have, where they're really become part of the club. You know, in the past, it was like, well, I'm the millionaire and you guys are making nothing. I'm the reason you guys are even going far in this league. And now it seems like a lot of the DPs that are coming in are actually becoming like integral parts. And it is because we're getting like maybe slightly lower level DPs. You know what I mean?
Well, the focus has been it's not always been let's just get somebody who's going to sell tickets.
It's like somebody who fits the club.
Who can help us win. And look, FC Dallas they've stuck to that strategy.
Yeah.
And look at where they are. I mean, it's not an accident.
Dude, we've talked about their youth setup.
Yeah, episode with John Hudson, we talked about.
John Arnold.
John Arnold.
Yeah, we rave about FC Dallas. Congratulations on the double. We're going to try to keep you from winning the treble for sure.
and because they won the Supporters Shield, Colorado gets the CONCACAF Champions League spot now.
Yeah.
Because they already got it from winning the U.S. Open Cup.
So. Which is kind of cool. You get to see Tim Howard now go play in El Salvador.
He's going to fill the stadium.
Yeah. That's what you've always wanted.
Everybody's going to wear a Tim Howard beard.
They're all going to pretend to have Tourette's. It's going to be great.
Next up, New England. The New England Revolution
versus L'Impact de Montreal.
That's right. New England dominated this team. They dominated 3-0. It could have easily been 5-0, 6-0. But New England needed about 10.
Yeah. And you know what? They would have gotten it if it wasn't for whoever put that plexiglass in front of the goal towards halfway.
No, I mean, they would have gotten it if, you know, the goalpost didn't get save of the week.
Yeah, who put gloves on the goalpost? I think it was parrying shots away.
They were 3-0. Montreal, again, another team, didn't really play. Piatti didn't play.
That Kai Kamara sitter that he missed. How did he miss that?
Yeah, so, I mean, look.
It got worse for him, too. He scores and then he twerks and gets a yellow.
It was, New England... They were just trying to tally up the, you know, they needed lots of goals.
Yeah.
They were sitting in seventh place, about eight to 10 goals. I forgot the exact number, 8 to 10 goals away from Philadelphia. Philadelphia just didn't have to lose by 10. That was basically it. But for a second, New England looked like it was plausible.
Yeah. I mean, we're like, oh my God, they're going to make this tight. Yeah.
And Kai Kamara had a shot. He was inside the 6 yard box and
keeper dove the wrong way or like parried it, but there was literally no one standing in front of him. It was just an open goal.
It was I forgot who took the shot. The initial shot was a blast.
I thought it was Kellen. No, it was Coffee. It was Coffee.
Okay. Yeah. A great save.
Yeah, volley one time
by Evan Bush. And then I mean, it lands right at Kamara's feet. He's 6 yards away.
He doesn't even have to kick it. He just has to push it.
He really
forward.
Just has to, tap it. But he chose to blast it.
Yeah.
Full, just
so hard.
So hard.
Needlessly hard.
Yeah.
It's like putting an espresso in a massive coffee cup. It was just like, you didn't need all that.
Yeah. He blasted it. And I mean, at that point, it's really tough to hit the crossbar from that close. I mean, it was like the Wando shot in the World Cup. But Wando didn't miss hit it. Like,
yeah,
Kamara hit it perfectly.
He hit it too good.
Yeah. But just too way, way.
Let's just say this.
Hard.
If the goal was in the ceiling of the arena, he would have scored.
he did. He, like you said, he did score later. And it was similar to that Giovinco goal from outside the box. It was a tough angle. He hit it outside of the foot.
Right, like straight across the face of the goal to the opposite angle.
Great, great goal. You know, about time Kai Kamara decided to like show some, some class.
To just be a Kamara. Kamara's out here scoring, baby. What are you up to?
Yeah, keep up with the Kamaras.
Keeping with the Kamaras?
Next up on E.
We're writing that down.
It's going to be a hot show. And yes, he did twerk right after his goal.
And we're not joking around.
Yeah, a la, you know, Antonio Brown from the Steelers. He also, you know, he twerked.
And a la what we told Jack Harrison to do.
Yeah, we told Jack Harrison to we didn't tell him to twerk. We asked him if he could twerk.
Yeah.
And all he did say was that he would twerk to warm up before he got into the match.
Yeah, he said, could you imagine? Which he didn't say he doesn't know how to twerk. But you know who does? Kai Kamara. And you know who else knows he can twerk? The official. Because he booked him for it. Which is a stupid reason to get booked.
Next time I go to a nightclub, I'm going to give these girls yellow cards for twerking.
I always tell people, hilarious.
You took it too far, young lady.
Also, some of these bras need some red cards. We know who you are. You should not be out here twerking. But, you know, I always say, like, yeah, soccer's a great sport. This only got 17 rules. Who knew one of the 17 was no twerking?
Yeah, they amended the FIFA constitution.
Yeah, I thought the NFL was the no fun league. Come on, we're the ones you're allowed to twerk in this league.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I guess there must be some rule that there can't be any, like, sexually suggestive celebrations, hilarious. You know?
You score, you're just pretending dudes are all over you.
Yeah. And the argument in the NFL that people make were like, well, the cheerleaders are being sexually suggestive. What's the big deal? But, right. You know, in MLS, there's no cheerleaders.
You know, Crystal Palace has cheerleaders. I don't know if they still do. They used to have them. They were called the Crystals.
Okay.
They were the only English anything I ever saw that had cheerleaders. And
they all have stripper names.
Yeah. The Crystals. Welcome, Diamond and Fantasia.
So it would have been cool, like, instead of Kai Kamara twerking, maybe if, like, the New England Revolution have those colonials that how about them twerking?
Going full Monty, yeah,
that would have been nice.
Look at Thomas Jefferson
getting it in.
Oh, I can see somebody's John Hancock.
Oh boy.
Email gets bigger. I think it's stupid to get a card for twerking. Let the boy live.
Yeah.
Why are we out here twerk shaming? That's not who we are.
That's right. This is an anti-twerk shaming podcast.
Goals we scored. Twerk shaming.
That was great. Some people don't know what we're talking about, but that was
Google it.
That was great. All right. And finally, in this segment.
That was just so good.
NYCFC.
Here it is.
Against the Columbus Crew.
So, look, our promise is that we're not an NYCFC podcast, but there was a lot riding in this game.
Yeah, we went to this game.
Yeah, well, that's right. We're season ticket holders because you know what? We support the MLS.
That's right.
And that is the closest match to us. So that's the team we love and we go to. Now, we respect all teams, but we really wanted...
All teams matter.
Yeah.
Hashtag all teams matter. Yeah.
In this case, I think you would agree. It's not just DC United. All teams matter.
Do you get it?
That's the black team.
All our Trump supporters are like...
All right. I like
cool.
These guys.
I like these guys. Yeah. These guys are pretty good.
I'm going to put down my rifle. I like these guys. Here's the thing. Like, there was a lot going on in this match. NYCFC, even if you're not a fan of NYCFC, strategically you could hear or you could think to yourself, these guys probably need not to have a midweek game, right? Which is the bye. The bye just gives you a full week to relax.
Yeah.
At this time of the season, having a guy who's, how old is Pirlo? 38 now? 37 maybe? You have Villa, who's up there a little bit, and we thought his legs were tired. He's made a strong comeback, but still, the guy's got a whole playoffs to go. You know, it's at the end of the season. And you got Lampard, who's just starting to come back from injury. You know, played a few minutes, which was great. This is the moment we could use it not to have an extra match. So we wanted them to win. And I don't think we'd beaten Columbus yet, right?
No, not this season. The last game was a draw.
Yeah, so it was a good opportunity versus a really good team. I thought Ola Kamara wasn't starting, but he was there. And defensively... I think there was a lot that we were wondering, how's it going to look? Chanel is back,
but also Josh Saunders
did
not play.
And just when you think the back line is kind of figured out, Saunders isn't there.
Yeah,
I had a terrible match previously.
No, look, we have not seen any other keeper in the two seasons of NYCFC's existence. We have not seen any other keeper, at net.
Other than maybe Johansson played in that one...
Did Johansson even play last season?
Yeah, maybe he played in Johansson played in I think a preseason match or something. Like season.
Yeah, regular season. No, there hasn't been anybody else. They've really entrusted Josh Saunders, and he's been reliable. You can't say they don't have 54 points by accident.
Yeah, no. So yeah, he's a good keeper.
He's been good. He just
had a stinker.
He had, especially the last game against DC United, he did not play well and just made poor decisions at the back that led to goals. But Erik Johansson, I mean, he looked it was scary how good he looked. I mean, as an NYCFC fan, I'm like, oh, this is adding some confusion to who should be starting the playoffs.
We have a goalkeeper controversy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. I think the word stoic, he looked composed.
Yeah, very much so.
Calm. He didn't look like he made, I think he maybe made one pass from the back where he sort of rolled it to a player, passed another player, and it was kind of dangerously close to the offensive player. And I kind of got a little scared. But then at the same time, I felt like this overwhelming confidence that he did it on purpose. Like he knew that attacker wasn't going to get to it in time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like he did it with all the confidence in the world. And I just I'm about it. I believe it. You know?
Yeah. He made a couple big saves, especially early.
He's also 6 foot. Eight,
yeah,
mean,
yeah, Jesus. He got nominated.
Stretch your arms out a little
for save of the week after a shot. You know, it was basically one on one, and he blocked a shot from Hector Jimenez.
Yeah,
and initially, it was like NYCFC made a couple defensive errors.
Yeah,
and he
par for course,
and he legitimately saved them. I mean, he saved the team from giving up an early goal, which would have, affected them psychologically?
Absolutely, 100%. Especially having Erik Johansson out there. If he lets the goal in, it's like, oh my god, we made a bad choice.
Exactly.
And Villa said something. He said that the team makes it very hard for him to pick up a starting 11, which he likes.
Yeah, you mean Vieira? You mean
what? Who did I say?
Villa.
Oh, my bad. I'm sorry. Yes, Vieira. So to me, it's like this was the prime example of that. And other than maybe Jack versus Kyrie, I think this is probably the biggest confusion for him, is to say who should be the starting goalkeeper. But what do you think is going to happen coming into the playoffs? I mean, do you let Josh Saunders, who's been...
You got it. Yeah, you have to go with...
You didn't say anything.
No, you have to go with the reliable, the guy you know. You got to
see. I'm thinking Johansson looked good.
You know what? It's interesting. Well, maybe we can see after the first playoff game, because look, in hockey, this happens all the time. In hockey playoffs, it's a whole new season.
For those of you who are wondering, yes, a Dominican man is telling us about hockey.
Yes, I watch hockey. I can play. I played in the past. In hockey, this happens all the time. You go with the hot hand. You go with the hot glove.
Yeah.
You know, they switch keepers all the time in a playoff series. It might happen.
It's different, though. I mean, it's totally different.
The
goalkeeper in hockey doesn't dictate the back line. Erik Johansson is guiding the back line. You know what I mean?
But look, what I liked about him, watching him against Columbus, was he made good decisions with saves, as far as pairing saves. He's very tall.
He did have that one punch out, which I was like, well, it wasn't. You could have grabbed that.
Wasn't terribly necessary, but
nitpicking.
He doesn't make risky decisions, which Saunders, I feel, occasionally does. I do think Saunders is the better keeper,
right?
Overall,
I don't know. Saunders is also much older.
He is,
and here's the thing: I know we like Saunders makes these incredible saves. Sometimes he makes it harder than it needs to be.
Maybe. But he still makes the save. I mean, look, there have been absolutely amazing saves that he's made, that and he deserves to start in the playoffs. That's my feeling. Erik Johansson, there's not enough body of work, as far as actual caps, in games,
right?
To say we're gonna put the fate of the season on you. I don't think. I don't think that's the right move. But look, we'll see after the first playoff game. Look, now there's no knockout games. There's no risk of like that one and done. So we'll see the first game, and if Saunders has
because it's only the first leg,
exactly, and it's away, so the goals are not worth you know, more.
What do you do? I don't know. We're a great away team, and part of that was because of Saunders. Maybe you're right. I don't know. What do you do? Let us know what you guys want to do. Tweet at us. Let us know. Even if you're not a fan of NYCFC, if you were putting this predicament, what would you do? You know, if you don't know, NYCFC won 4-1. It was incredible. It was an incredible match.
Atmosphere, over 30,000.
Over 30,000.
Good to see that.
Yeah, there was a couple guys from BBC Sports behind us. There was a lot of people out here to watch this match. And it was really exciting. It was exciting. The energy in the place was incredible. And I mean, David Villa scored literally at the last kick. It was the last action was him scoring. Yes. Now let's take it back a few steps. So we've had the Cooligans fantasy league, and if you did not join, you missed an incredibly exciting league.
Tight down to the wire.
It really was. I mean, you had a shot in the last few weeks. What's his name? God, I can't remember. Elvis. Elvis Romero came out of nowhere.
Rob Hobson.
Elvis Romero only started playing like halfway through the season, and he came out.
Yeah, he started
out of
maybe like 3 or 4 weeks after we did.
Yeah, and he forgot it was there, and he was like, "Oh, let me start." And then he started climbing the ranks. Rob Hobson looked really good. There was maybe only one or two players who just kind of gave up on the league. Mm-hmm. Everyone else was really, really into it. Now, Mathieu Tremblay, a gentleman from Montreal fan from Montreal, he sort of had been running the league. You know, he was in first position. I knocked him out for like a week or two, I think, max. But down to the last game, remember the last week, there was like all these teams that weren't playing, but some teams had double weeks, double game weeks. So I loaded up.
You took advantage of that.
I did. And I took a couple -4s, you know, when you over transfer, you take a couple -4s. Mm-hmm. Long story short, I didn't get the result I wanted, but I got really close. I was 6 points behind, 6 or 7 points behind him. So here's what I did. You only have two more transfers. Matarita had gotten injured, so I took him out. And I put, I forgot who else I put in there. And then I looked around, and here's the thing. All season long, I've made wrong decisions on who to be captain. And when you make a captain in fantasy soccer, they get double the points, regardless of whatever they score. So if they only score 1 point, you now have 2. If they score 10, you have 20. Okay. So I've given it to the wrong player. And me and Mathieu Tremblay had similar players on our teams, but he would pick the better captain. He would get double the points. So he would have so many more points.
He was dominant all season.
Yeah, he was dominant. Yeah. So I decided, and we could see each other's teams, you know, so I kind of knew who he was on, who he had on his team. He knew who I had on my team. But I said, you know what? I'm going to ride with, you know, it's the last game of the season. David Villa has had a big week the last 2 weeks.
Go with your heart.
I'm going to go with David Villa, make him my captain.
Yeah.
I could have picked, you know, Bradley Wright Phillip or Sasha Kljestan, who were both on my team. I could have picked Piatti, who had a monster week the week before. I was just a little worried, okay?
Yeah.
I could have picked
Piatti, they didn't even play.
Lloyd Sam, who had a monster week the week before. But I went with, Piatti did come into the match at the end.
Okay.
But I went with David Villa. So we're all standing there. And at this point, I've been refreshing my screen so much. No.
You're framing this story as if you're like, some hero who just like no.
So you mean appropriately?
No, we're watching the match, and Alexis is just anxiety ridden, constantly refreshing his phone to see.
I'm excited, not anxiety ridden, but I'm updating it because all the matches are happening at the same time.
That's right.
So we're literally within the confines of this match, we will find out who wins the league. And I started gaining on him, and then I start getting. I have more points than him. I'm now ahead of him, and now I'm listed as first place. And then he makes a comeback, and I'm like, which one of his players did that? And then I realize his captain. So we're going back and forth.
First of all, the guys from BBC Sports behind me are like, what's happening? I'm glad you're recording this, because this is what you're gonna just play back to your like firstborn son.
Yeah.
Look, your father was a hero,
a champion.
He was a champion.
Everyone thought the game was on the pitch, but it turns out he was in section 238. But people around us are now wondering what's happening. Kirby's like, "Are you winning? Are you winning?" Rob Hobson's like, "Are you winning?" Everyone, you didn't care so much, but everyone.
I love how this is. You're painting this picture like all the fans. They're not even looking
at the
game.
Around.
They're just staring
around
at your phone. Yeah. Just, everybody's piling on top of each other.
They're fighting to see who's on the phone.
There's a warm glow from your phone on everybody's face.
So, okay, I'm glad you remember the way I do. So I'm standing there and I'm updating, and I said, I think you asked me, I go, what do you need to possibly win? And I said, if Villa scores, because he's my captain, that's not just 5 points. And by the way, Tremblay had him, but I was winning. I think I was whatever it was. He would have gotten 5. I would have gotten 10. I would have beat him, right? I needed 5 points to win. That's the only way to do it at this point, because this was, I think, the longest match.
Yeah.
Right? So I said, I just need Villa to win. And then he kicks that beautiful curler that goes from one post off the other, right?
That's right. He hit the double post. Yeah.
Double post.
Double and post it, on a chip, which is crazy.
Incredible. It was like a curl, it was a curving pitch. Yeah. And it almost looked like it bounced inside. But I go, that's not a goal. And you look at me and you're like, his watch didn't go off. The sideline judge's watch buzzes.
Oh, no, but that's the MLS doesn't have.
They don't have that. But yeah. I was like, what? Where is he? Because I was like looking around like,
no,
pretend that buzzed. But anyway, there was like just a lot of excitement and anticipation of what might happen. So literally in the last second, he passes the ball similar to that chip over to Frank Lampard, I guess trying to get Lampard a goal.
Yeah.
The defenders collapse on Lampard. He passes it to Villa. Villa one times it into the goal and the whistle blows. Like as soon as that's done, it was exactly. literally the last.
It was a buzzer beater.
It was, yeah, it was the last action. On that action, I won the league.
That's right.
And I scream, I won the league. And then people freak out. Kevin Hall, you, Kirby, everyone's all over me. Like it was amazing. I honestly felt for a moment like Santi from the movie Goal. I felt like I won.
Everyone's celebrating the fact that NYCFC got the second
the fourth
seed,
goal. Yeah, everyone's goal, celebrating that. But if you looked in 238, you would see a small group of people that were gathered around me. And I got to be honest, I still look back at that moment and it feels great. It feels great.
The greatest moment of your life.
The only time I felt bad is when I emailed Matt too, like, hey, buddy, look what happened. But it wasn't a gloating. It was just like, and I even said, like, great fucking season. You know, it was a great season.
Yeah.
And he wrote back. He told me this whole story about how he's a teacher and his children, his students are asking him. I was like, don't make me feel bad about beating you.
He helps poor children at homeless shelters.
Yeah, he doesn't do
and all that. And all the kids kept asking.
Every time Sally Struthers comes on the TV, he pays for those kids.
And he just needed that extra motivation to help that one other child. And
he he bet his mortgage on that, on the league. And, you know, he's going to live with some of those kids now because he's poor also. But he's a great dude, and we're so happy to have him. And he actually said, he goes, I'm just happy I beat my buddy, which is Smoke Meat FC.
Okay.
So cool. Awesome. We both get what we want.
But he will win some prizes. He is, you know, you are the title holder.
Right. We did say that if one of us won, that no one would win anything. But we're going to be cool about it.
No, you said that.
But then we're both going to be cool about it, though. I still think that should be the rules.
No, that's
if either of us win, no one wins anything.
That's a horrible rule. No.
That's a fun rule because you win for being in second place. Arsenal didn't win. By the way, this was my retribution for Arsenal. This was like beating Leicester City.
Sure, you can have it.
This was exactly like Leicester City.
Lots of Arsenal fans would not agree with you.
This was exactly like Leicester City.
This is more like, no, Arsenal getting over Tottenham, really.
But no, it wasn't.
I mean, obviously the example is different because you won.
Well, yeah, like we did it in the last match.
But it was in the last match, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you might be right. I wish he had Mitrovic on his team.
Okay, everybody. Well, now that we're done celebrating Alexis's victory, we're going to take a quick break and then...
I'm going to go take a victory lap and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some other matches.
Yes, he's going to be very winded when he gets back.
Oh, boy. I mean around a chair.
So we'll take a quick break and we'll get to...
Oh, my God. We got Sounders, Toronto. We got a bunch of
final matches.
Stuff.
Yeah. So we'll be back right after this.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Alexis Guerrero. So I'm one of the Cooligans, and I just want to talk to you guys real quick about On The Volley Apparel. Really cool clothing brand based out of Southern California. They're LA Galaxy fans, but do not hold it against them. Right now, I'm wearing the most comfortable hoodie, and I'm not making that up, the most comfortable pullover hoodie I've ever owned, and it's got the Wu-Tang logo on the front with a soccer pitch inside of it. If you go to our Instagram, you're going to see some of the photos of it. It's absolutely some of the coolest stuff I've ever had. I want you guys to go check them out on Instagram. At On The Volley Apparel, ONTHEVOLLEY Apparel is APPAREL. Check them out. Their website is VA Football Club, VAFootballClub.com. Check them out. Absolutely awesome clothing. Such cool style. Buy some of that stuff. Really support them because these guys are doing a great job producing some really, really awesome stuff. And we absolutely love all of their stuff. And I think you guys are really going to love it too. Again, check out that Wu-Tang. They even have that in a t-shirt. So I know it's starting to be summer. It's going to get nice and hot. Buy yourself a dope t-shirt. I wore it on stage the other day and people kept asking me where I got it. It's pretty dope. I think everyone's going to love it. I think you will too. Check them out on The Volley Apparel. Yeah, we're back.
We're back, guys, there were, 10 other teams.
For everyone who, you know, ate all their popcorn listening to my fantasy league win.
They were enthralled. It was like an episode of The Moth.
My phone's blowing up. I'm assuming it's Michael Bay.
Can we tell your story?
Yeah, the world needs to know this story.
But, you know, I think that even the way you were describing it, where like, look, we're comics, we're you know, orators, right? We paint pictures with it was well, like, I'm like, oh yeah, this is, everyone was cheering. We lifted you up. We carried you through this.
Everybody was cheering. Yeah, yeah.
Just the memories of it are just like.
It literally plays in my head the way I said it did.
All right. So the final five games for deadline day, Orlando against the DC United.
Oh, the man. DC United. The United of DC.
Orlando City won this game 4-2. Orlando is already out of the playoffs.
Yeah, they had nothing to play for. DC was in already. I mean, you know, you want to go in with momentum, but Sam didn't play, and I believe their I can't remember their striker.
Mullins. Patrick Mullins didn't play. Lamar Nagel did play.
They also had a Kamara, right? I think they had a Kinley Kamara. Oh, okay. Another Kamara.
You get a Kamara.
Yeah, this league has a bunch of Kamaras. The EPL has a bunch of Dembeles.
That's right.
I'm Alexis Dembele, and that's Christian Kamara.
Orlando won, 4-2.
Got to annoy you if you're an Orlando fan. First of all, respect to the Orlando fans. They filled the stadium again. I mean, those guys.
This is such a great, great fan base. I mean, it's as, look, in such a short time in the MLS to get this much support. Like, I mean, they must have been like 40,000 people. I mean, it was insane. There were just so many people.
Yeah, they're the new Seattle. They're the new FC Cincinnati.
it is cool to see that kind of support, and it is that's what makes it very sad that they don't get a playoff spot,
right?
And you don't get to see a team like that with such a supportive fan base in the playoffs. But look, Orlando really felt like, I think they had something to prove. They really wanted to go out.
And the season on a high note, for sure. I think you're right. And if you're Jason Christ, this is what you want. You know, the season on a high note, and, you know, hopefully, you know, it keeps the vultures at bay. I think he's going to be back next season. Oh, you look at someone like Kaká, looked great, by
Kaká
the way.
He looked really good. I had made a note about it because he did this when he played against NYCFC, and you saw one thing you don't expect from Kaká is you don't really expect him to be to outpace anybody.
Right, right, right.
And that's constantly what he does.
Yeah,
he burned like RJ. He was burning RJ Allen. He did the same thing. I forgot the defender. But he was just running by people so easily.
Yeah.
And like people who are like 10 years younger than him, it makes no sense.
Yeah, he's got a lot left in the tank, as they say. This match alone says he's got it, because, you know, he's perfect through balls. He had that one long run where he still finished, which is an issue sometimes, and not with him, with other players. You know, just a great run. You know, he broke down the defenders, and then he finished and he scored, and it looked like he passed it into the net. He wasn't even trying to go nuts.
Yeah, he outside of the foot, right, just over the keeper to the side netting.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just ask this. I'm curious, what do you think is missing for Orlando? What do you think they need to do in 2017?
I mean, I want to say it's just probably better tactics. They seem to have, you know, I look at their defending, you know, losing someone like Aurelien Conlon was probably a big issue for them.
Yeah. Defensively. Defensively
they're still, and look, they have Jason Christ, which he didn't look too good as a defensive coach, you know, when he was with NYCFC. We'll see what happens. But to me, you know, some of the things that they might be missing, look, they got Lauren, they got Kaká, they got a hold on to those guys. They seem to be putting a lot of pace around them, which is good. You know, get some fast players around them, get players that are decisive. You know, if maybe they had better central defending, and maybe they had better, a central defensive midfielder, maybe better center backs, it seems like their issues would be good. I mean, they'd be fine. Their issues would be gone.
Yeah.
And it's tough. I mean, those are three very tough positions to fill in this league.
Yeah, even, you know, they're I would say they're midfield, and look, they have Kyle Aaron up front. They have Kaká, Kevin Molino in the midfield.
Who look great.
And these players are, not only are they good players, but they make their team better. They make the people around them better.
Yeah.
They're all very creative people. They are very creative players. So
love art, you know.
Macrame. Kaká has he has a minor in art history.
very creative.
I would say it's the simplest sort of remedy is probably like fix the back line.
The back line.
They defensively they just made so many errors. You know, look, from week to week, the inconsistency of, like, you know, against DC, they looked, I mean, they looked so good.
Yeah,
and then, you know, just from week to week, they just have one game that they could put up 4 or 5 goals, and then they can just give up 4 or 5.
Yeah, and make it be known that I don't, you know, DC United didn't trot out DC 2. There was still some really good players in there.
Yeah.
So if you're Orlando, this has got to make you feel good on the way out. And shouts to those fans for showing up. You know, Baptista scored. He seems like he's a nice able-bodied backup. But you look at the Orlando backline, like we were talking about, they had that one pass, that one terrible pack pass that went right into the feet of DC United. And
yeah.
And you look at moments like that and you think, that seems like a crisis. That's a crisis, if you will. This is a crisis. You know, this is something that happened at New York last year. That would happen a lot.
I mean, it happened to NYCFC the last week against DC United.
But we're also trying to play out of the back now. That's the issue.
Dumb mistake. But things like that can be fixed easily.
Absolutely.
So, all right. Next up, a great game. Seattle against RSL. The Sounders win this game 1-0. And
that goal was in its third minute.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was an Arsenal goal. It reminded me of an Arsenal goal. That ball just kept, like, people were just like moving it along. They weren't passing it. They were just keeping the momentum going.
Yeah. It was a cross, I believe, from Christian Roldan to Jordan Morris, who backheeled it to Fernandez.
Right. And Fernandez was on the opposite end of the goal. This was all like in front of the face of the goal.
Yeah. I mean, very good. It's look, that isn't a, you don't see those plays in MLS very regularly. Like, MLS has amazing individual plays, but rarely like are things pieced together like that.
Incredible.
And look that good. And I mean, look, that good on Jordan Morris. That was it shows his, confidence throughout the season.
Yeah.
To be able to do something like that. But it not only was it, look, they got a great goal, but it was a pretty pass. So it was just good to see just in general.
And if you look at someone like Roldan, who when I first saw him play, I thought he was like 32. This guy is a young kid. Mm. He's got a lot of skill. Nice. Him and Jordan Morris, two nice pieces for the future if you're Seattle.
What do you think of Brian Schmetzer? Do you think he keeps the job?
He is going to keep the job. He shouldn't be the manager there. He shouldn't be the coach, but he's going to keep the job.
Really?
Yeah, you have to. You have to. Unless you get someone of like a Tata Martinez level, like someone, a big name that managed at major clubs.
Martino,
sorry. Tata. Unless you get...
Which is also Pablo Escobar's wife, Tata.
That's true. Terrible acting on that, Narcos, by the way.
No, I didn't.
Oh, God, great. Escobar is terrible.
Wow.
Sorry.
Shots fired.
Yeah.
At Pablo.
Probably the wrong person. Unless Mr. Escobar thought it was good, then it is very good. But, you know, unless you're going to get someone to that level, you can't fire this guy. He seems to have, earned solidified the team.
You earned the job. I mean, he got Seattle out of the sort of tailspin.
Yeah, he got him in the playoffs.
He got him in the playoffs.
We were joking. We had an episode on here with Matty Pants.
Matty Pants.
And we were saying that this was, like you said, a death spiral. This is going nowhere.
And, yeah, so the confidence was very low. And then, Siggy Schmidt was, I think, let go the following week, if I remember correctly. And look, he's done the right thing even without Dempsey, which is also a terrible blow. Look at where they are. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, it is very good.
They're doing all right.
And if you're RSL, I mean, who cares? They want to re-sign Movsisian, which is a good move for them. And, if you're the Sounders, here you go. You're waltzing into the playoffs with a lot of confidence. And let's see what those guys can do. Let's see what Fernandez can do. Let's see what Ozzie Alonso can do. Let's see what, let's see what Jordan Morris can do. He didn't go to Germany, right? We were kind of, being rough with him. And here he is, probably going to be, second rookie of the year, right just behind Jack Harrison, who I think will probably get it. Let's see what they're going to do in the playoffs. It's going to be exciting.
All right, next up, Toronto FC against the Chicago Fire.
Chicago Fire.
Toronto wins 3-1, and this match was obviously of importance to NYCFC because this would have determined seeding. So Toronto ends up in third place in the Eastern Conference,
which means they have to play the knockout game.
That's right, and they were losing 1-0. Chicago scored early.
Chicago.
They scored early. This is the first time listening. That's how I say Chicago.
Dan, he's not offending anyone except me. He's offending me by saying
apparently it's wrong. Yeah. I'm doing something wrong. So the Fire scored early.
Yeah.
So it looked like NYCFC, all I had to do was basically, they didn't have to lose, but like they could, it seemed like they could have lost and still ended up in second place.
It certainly lowered the tension once Chicago scored. But then here comes the Gio show, the Giovinco show. Oof.
Yeah.
I mean, how injured was he? Like, he just comes back and this is what he's doing. He's
rust?
Just,
well, what rust?
Yeah, no, he don't rust, homie. He just rests. The dude, he's so good. He just trusts. I don't understand how the rest of the team just doesn't stand there and watch him,
Well, it is interesting. Look, Toronto had a very strange year because, they didn't start off too strong. But because they were, they didn't play, I think it was the first 7 or 8 matches were on the road because they were getting an extension added to their field.
Right.
So obviously that would make it difficult for anybody, but they... After Giovinco got hurt, Altidore stepped in and got them, a lot of goals, a lot of victories.
I think this match, though, was a 4-game winless streak that they just avoided, or a 5-game winless streak.
Yeah.
That they put a halt to, which you don't want to walk into the playoffs that way, Yeah. So this is a good moment for them. But you're right. I mean, dude, Altidore looked amazing. He seems to have tapered off.
Yeah, but the we'll see if like Giovinco coming back affects Altidore in any way.
I'm sure it will.
I think the playoffs,
The issue is like you look at someone like Frank Lampard who's getting healthy, but we've seen how well the team plays when he's in it. We don't have a lot to draw from with Giovinco and Altidore playing together.
Yeah.
There's a few matches.
It's usually one or the other that shines, not both.
Yeah, and the problem is that like one becomes sort of pointless to be out there, Like you want players that can play together.
It's an easy choice if you have to pick one.
Yeah, that's true. Although, if we're talking about riding the hot hand for a while, it would have been tough if it wasn't for this Giovinco injury.
Yeah.
So this Giovinco injury came at a terrible time, but look, you made it in the playoffs. They're going to host their first home playoff match in the history of their club.
Yeah.
So this is, every year there's progress. This is progress on last year, but those fans want more than that. If you're a Toronto fan, let us know what you want. I'm assuming you think you guys are good enough for the MLS Cup. I think you might be.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to be facing the Union they should absolutely dominate.
Yeah. The Union are strong though. And they can play at the style of game that frustrates Toronto, which is that strong press.
Okay. Well, we'll see how they do. Let's go on to the next one. The Vancouver Whitecaps against the Portland Timbers.
And this was for the Cascadia Cup.
Cascadia Cup. Also, Portland could have made it into the playoffs if they won this match.
Which they did not.
They did not. They lost 4-1. They were down 4-0, early. I mean, they were just marking so many goals so early. A huge bummer for Portland.
Yeah.
The MLS Cup champions not, returning to the playoffs and really just kind of falling apart at the end of the season.
Terrible. When you have the ability to win an in and you don't, that's not good. If you're Caleb Porter, I don't think you're losing your job. I don't think that.
No.
Although if he does, that's the guy. He goes to Seattle.
Okay.
That would be massive for those two fan bases.
No.
Blood spilled in the street.
But yeah, they would go nuts.
Oh my God. If you're Seattle, you want that to happen. That would piss off Portland tremendously. But
there's somebody dating your ex-girlfriend. Yeah,
your best friend. It's like the bassist in your band, dating your ex-girlfriend. But, you look at someone like, Adi, who had chances to score. There was nothing they could have done to stop the tide of Vancouver.
They look
better than they have almost all season.
But it's one of those things where, we're not losing to you.
Yeah.
It was important to me to win that match.
They look like the energy New England was trying to expel out to try to get those 10 goals. It looked like Vancouver was receiving that energy and was actually able to finish.
Exactly.
I mean, Matt Barnes had never scored for that team.
Giles Barnes. Matt Barnes is the guy who bangs Derek Fisher's wife.
That's a good point. Giles Barnes, hadn't scored. He scores a brace.
Yeah, that's right. Did he score two? I don't even remember.
Yeah, he did. He got a race.
He went over from the Dynamo to Vancouver, and it's good to see him. You know, obviously they didn't get to the Vancouver, especially after the season they had last year, which they lost in the playoffs,
right.
in the knockout game. But you know, it would have been they really wanted to get back there. They thought they could, but it's really more about the collapse of
yeah, well, that's the headline for this match for sure
for Portland. One thing that also fascinating, this game was you know, in Vancouver. Portland didn't go in this game with much confidence. Portland finished this season without one road victory, which is unbelievable.
Disgusting,
especially for the MLS Cup champions to not get one.
Jeez.
It's surreal.
I mean, that's the thing of this league. Both of the people that were in the finals aren't even in the playoffs this year. So we're going to have a new champion, which is kind of great.
It's going to be nice. All right. And the final game that we're going to be talking about, the New York Red Bulls against the Philadelphia Union. The Red Bulls dominate this game also.
Again.
2-0. You know, Philly, there wasn't much they could have done at this point. I don't know. They just look a step behind. And the Red Bulls are just in another gear right now.
Yeah. And, you know, they seem to be, you know, the one thing about Jesse Marsh, I will give, you know, a lot of credit is he seems to prepare his club really, really well for the playoffs. You know, I don't know if that's going to turn out to be a lot of wins for them. I think out of the power ranking has them listed as the highest probability of winning.
Yeah, yeah.
The MLS Cup. I don't know that I look at them and say, no, I disagree. I don't know that I agree fully, but I don't think I have any proof to say like, no, that's not going to happen. They look like a really, really strong side.
The issue with the Red Bulls is, you know, they are easily one of the better teams in the league. But their issue the entire season is that they just give up goals late.
Yeah.
I mean, look, they lost that. They were up 2 against DC United like a month ago. Gave up, you know, ended in a draw. Mm-hmm. They don't finish matches.
No.
And that is the thing.
Well, one in particular.
Yeah,
they finished early.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Can we have some extra credit? I did all my homework already.
Yeah.
I think you're right. I think what you look at is a unit that has the ability to sort of, you know, frustrate you in the sense that they keep the ball and players move a lot.
And they're tough. They're tough. Team.
Yeah, they're not easy to break down, and they're willing to go at you. You know, you go at them, they're willing to come back at you. What's the biggest weakness on the Red Bulls? I don't know. I think if you do get them down, if you do score a goal early, that shakes them a bit.
Yeah.
I think that's really the biggest chance you have against the Red Bull is to try to just score early, you know?
Yeah. You know, and obviously that's not easy with Robles. He's a great, great keeper. I think
speaking of Colin, that's where he went. Oh. Aurelien Colin, he's their center.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. I don't know. I would say that the teams that I think are the biggest threats in the playoffs are probably Red Bulls and easily FC Dallas and probably like a dark horse. I think DC United
and Seattle. I think Seattle has built this momentum. They're if you take their season from after Siggy Schmidt has been fired, I don't think you've, other than maybe DC, there's been a hotter team.
Yeah.
So, and DC for a much smaller run. So, yeah.
Bradley Wright Phillips scored. He finishes the season.
Golden Boot. Yeah.
Golden Boot. Also, Sasha Kljestan got, I believe, one assist. Also has the assist crown. Is that what they call it?
I'm not sure.
Pretty impressive for the same team to have. I guess it's not that unlikely, right? If you have the Golden Boot, probably the guy who's assisting him is probably going to get a bunch of...
Yeah, exactly. And I think they gave him an assist from a previous match.
Okay.
To help. Yeah, there was one that was like ruled his assist. So,
I mean, you can't take anything away from the Rebels. I mean, they especially those two guys, they're earning their paycheck.
Yeah, and they got guys like Mule and Grella, you know, I mean, they and Dax McCarty. I mean, they've got a really strong, strong team. You know, can they keep it together? We'll see, you know?
So we are heading into the playoffs. It is an exciting time for us. Make sure you, you know, listen to, you know, the rest of the podcast because we're going to be covering all the playoff games and things like that. So a quick recap of who do you think, who do we got for each playoff game. So the knockout game is coming up.
For the knockout.
For the knockout game. So it's we have Toronto against the Union and DC against Montreal. Obviously, we think Toronto.
I think it's Toronto, DC.
So Toronto and DC. Okay, so you think the fifth and sixth seed are not going to get through?
No, I think Toronto is too strong. They got Javinko back, done.
I'll say this. I think Montreal is going to beat DC.
I don't think that that's crazy to say, but I think DC is in a position where, you know, I don't know.
They're going to be an upset.
I think they're playing strong, and nothing against Montreal, but I already beat Mud too, trembling. No, I'm kidding. I think Montreal is in a position right now where this Drogba thing had solidified them, but that already happened. If that Drogba thing happened now, I think Piatti takes over the team. Guys like Mancuso and Salazar step their game up. Now you're looking at, you know, this thing has already happened. It's drag. People are starting to pick sides. Piatti's going to have to play the entire match at a very high level for them to have any chance.
And in the Western Conference, LA Galaxy, third seed, playing sixth seed, Real Salt Lake.
Galaxy
should take this one fairly easily.
Come on, you got Dos Santos. What are you guys doing?
Yeah. Also, Steven Gerrard put out like a vague post on Instagram thanking the LA fans. I think he's done officially for... Well, not officially, but I think he's done with that.
But yeah, I think he's already said that he wants to try to get one more go at the Premier League.
Okay. Is he? But he's been injured, right?
I don't know that he's been injured.
I don't know. He hasn't been playing for the last couple of weeks. I don't know what's going on.
Maybe he has been injured.
I don't know.
Who knows?
So we'll see. We may not see him in the playoffs. So I guess that'll be a bit of a bummer if that's the case. And then fourth seed against the fifth, Seattle Sounders against Sporting Kansas City, which I think is probably going to be the match of sort of this knockout round. That seems to be the most sort of exciting one.
Yeah, that one's going to be the toughest one. I got to go Seattle just because, you ride the hot hand. But again, I mentioned Phil Haber. I've counted him out before, and I've been wrong. So, for the purpose of the league, I hope that Sporting Kansas City wins just because their fan base is incredible and dope kits. I think the dopest kits in the league by far. Very casual looking shirts. But,
something you can wear to a re-wedding.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for suggesting that. They don't have one that looks like a tuxedo, so sorry. I just don't think Sporting Kansas City is going to pull that out. I think Seattle wins.
Okay. So that is it, everybody. We covered every single MLS team in one episode. How great is that?
Everybody gets all covered in our goodness.
Yeah.
Disgusting.
Okay, yeah, that felt weird.
It did. Well, I'd like to apologize to everyone who heard it.
Thank you so much for listening.
You're welcome.
I'm talking to you, Alexis.
Yeah, the fans. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate it very much. Support the show. Let your friends know. Say, hey, they talked about our team, and they were pretty funny.
Yeah, and you know, if you saw the Jack Harrison video, share that. You know, even if you're not in the New York area, he's a player for the whole league.
That's right.
So share that. That would be awesome to us. If you shared that video, that would be really, really nice. And tell your friends to subscribe on YouTube.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Thank you so much for listening. You guys have been awesome. My name is Alexis.
My name is Christian.
And together we are the Cooligans.